Welcome to Sister Speak True Blood, where we discuss season 4 of the HBO series True Blood from a sister's point of view. I'm Sister J.
And I'm Sister K. And welcome to episode 36. Let's get started.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's talk about the episode Let's Get Out of Here, which is number 9.
Okay.
In True Blood, the season.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you like it?
This was my least favorite episode.
Oh.
It was really, really dumb, in my opinion. So many things were just so annoying to me. It's just unbelievable. And, you know, I was at the point where I said, you know, if Alan Ball don't do something and pick this shit up, I may have to do like I did with Big Brother and stop watching it.
Oh, please.
Hey, it was so annoying to me.
Okay, what part? Or what?
You know what part. Sookie was so annoying to me. It was just, you know, I'm really sick and tired of Alan Ball trying to preach, you know? And he uses it especially through her with the crap that she says to try to preach to people. I am just sick of it. And that whole stupid Victoria's Secret sequence, hey, they should have cut that shit out and expanded Lafayette's part. Because to me, the whole Mavis storyline was so interesting, but it felt like it was just rushed through. Well, yeah. Let's hurry up and get it done.
Yeah.
You know, so she could ascend to heaven or whatever and then move on. I mean, that was just so rushed. You know, that was a really good storyline, I thought, especially by the time that everybody realized, uh-oh, Lafayette took the baby.
Yeah,
but it's
right.
Really Mavis,
right.
See. But, you know, all that crap with Sookie and stuff, okay, we get it. She drank Bill's blood. Okay. You know? Oh, hey, I was too through. And when I watched it the second time, I fast-forwarded through all that shit. So I can't even tell you, repeat what she said again, because first time it annoyed me so bad, I said, oh, hell no.
I can repeat it. She said...
Oh, shit. All right, go ahead.
She basically said, look, I figured out that I love both of you, so I want to have you both. And you know, Bill saying, that's not you. That's not how it's supposed to be. And Eric's like, no, you got to choose. And she said, well, this, you know, this is... Why is this a double standard when it's two girls and a guy?
Da, da, da. Yeah.
So she's like, it's take it or leave it, choose. And it's all a dream, so it's not real.
I know that.
But, you know, when she did wake up from the dream, obviously, it, you know, she looked sad, like, oh, crap, this is what my real issue is. I love both of them still.
I'm ready for her to get her ass kicked some way or something. Do something. You know? It's just every episode is the same shit with her. It's the same thing. Oh, makes me sick. Anyway, but it did was, hey, the only funny part of the whole thing was when Alcide went through all that shit to save that broad. And Bill, oh, first of all, when Bill knocked Alcide over and took Sookie out of his arm, I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
And then when she finally do wake up and she's asking, where's Eric? And everybody looked disgusted, like, yeah, well, what'd y'all expect?
No. Bill knew, because he immediately was like, well, I got people looking for him.
No, you see that look on his face, he went like, oh, shit. You know, like, oh, damn.
Well, no, I took it like he's like, okay,
mm-mm.
We don't know where he is. You're going to be trying to get
him. Right, but he gave her this look, first of all, like, oh, man. I thought maybe, you know, me rescuing her and giving her blood would kind of like, you know... Mm-hmm. Kind of mute that a little bit.
I thought that was funny, though.
That was funny.
No, she wasn't paying attention to Alcide and say, thank you, kiss my ass.
Nothing. She didn't tell him thank
you
at all.
Where's Eric? Well, every minute we don't find him, and he's like, is anybody else think this is some crazy shit?
He said, this is a batshit crazy. He says, you know what? I'm done. And she just looked at him.
Okay.
She didn't. That was her opportunity to say, well, thank you very much for bringing me here. But, you know, I'm really worried about Eric or something. Yeah. Or, well, she could have just said thank you very much for, you know, coming there to see about me. Even if she didn't know. She knew he was there to see about her ass. He wasn't just moseying in the neighborhood. Oh, please. What an ungrateful wench.
No, that's the wake-up call he needed. She didn't tell him to bring his ass over there.
Well, now, that's true, too. Now, that was his wake-up call, and that is true.
Yep.
But still, what an ungrateful thing. I'm so through with her.
But Bill was looking sexy to me.
Yeah.
In that scene.
He looked good in all that black.
When Aussie left and Bill, and it was just her and Bill, and she's looking at him and he kind of has this like sheepish look on his face. That to me was cute. And he's like, okay, well,
I'll go
look for Eric.
He said, well, time for me to go. You know, because she was just looking at him
that
like,
was funny.
Yeah, well, she was giving him a look like, well, you know, ain't you going to get up?
No, to me, it was like, okay, what do we do now? We're both here.
No, she knew what to do because she said, every minute we ain't looking for him. I said,
anyway. That didn't bother me because Aussie, you know, she didn't ask Aussie to come over there. They don't really have a relationship, even though they flirt with each other and stuff. The whole time she's known him, she's been either in love with Eric or in love with Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what he thought. He got his damn girlfriend living up in the house. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
And that whole, speaking of his girlfriend, that whole Debbie shit was just like, what?
No. When Aussie goes back home, and I thought it was funny that she was watching Cheaters.
I know! I saw that, because I've seen that show a couple times, and
looking all forlorn and stuff.
And she was kind of sniveling and everything.
But Aussie got in the bed, of course, first of all.
But did you see how skinny she was, though?
Well, they're all skinny.
Yeah, but, I mean, she was just really bony, it seemed to me. You know, ooh. Anyway.
Sookie, to me, is too skinny. Because when she took off her little negligee or whatever, the robe part of that nightgown, and you saw her ribs.
I know.
Like,
but see, you know,
some more meat.
That's the difference between people.
Well,
or, yeah,
anyway.
Because hey, black folk like some meat. Mm. Certainly don't want to see nobody's ribs.
I mean, it doesn't matter what race you're. There's skinny
people. Yes, it do.
What I'm trying to say is, they're skinny people of all races.
That's
true. And to me, it just looks better when you have a little bit more meat on you.
But it is an ethnic thing.
Oh, Sister J.
It is.
No.
It is, too.
It's not.
It is, too. Anyway.
It's a preference of what people prefer.
Yeah, genetically speaking, black women are bigger. Period. We got bigger bones, bigger butts, bigger everything.
What?
And very seldom do I see a grown-ass black woman, and I'm talking about no little teenager, but a grown-ass black woman so thin that you could see her ribs.
Oh, I've seen that.
Oh, I have not.
I have. Mm-mm. I have. It's everywhere. It's every... People are coming off shapes and sizes. It don't matter their color. Mm. My point is, to me, and I'm thinking about Hollywood and all these TV shows and reality shows that I do watch, to me, some of the people look older when they're too thin. Their faces are sunken in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You see their bones.
Well, I don't recall ever seeing Halle Berry stripped down in one of her movies and you could see her ribs.
Yes.
I couldn't.
Yeah, and I just showed a commercial on it the other day. The one with Hugh Jackman, and she's in just the underwear.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks, to me, don't look that great because you see all her bones and her ribs.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So anyhow,
anyway.
To me, they both was looking thin, but to me, Sookie was thinner than Debbie. That's not even the point. The point was when Aussie came in the room and was trying to sneak back in the bed, and she's watching Cheaters, I thought that was funny. And then when he stripped down, I was like, hello.
I know, they showed him naked too.
Oh, wait. And then...
he got a butt, too.
He trying to kiss up on her, and her eyes flashing.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm like, okay, girl, turn around and snatch him up. She should have did.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it didn't bother me that I kind of like Debbie because she's trying, you know, I like the way they went with it because it's different than what we thought she would do.
It is different than what we thought she would do. And I can understand her. I can understand her trying to do anything for Alcide, you know, because she really does love Alcide. So that's the reason why she's even...
whatever, you know, she can try.
Right, they're doing that. But I knew she was a V-head. I knew she was back on that step. I just knew it.
Oh, well.
I just knew she was
on the V. I don't think she was
V
until now.
Well, she back on the V.
She back on it now.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but the whole Sookie... dream sequence with Eric and Bill.
All right.
I thought it was hokey myself.
That was for 13-year-old boys to get a thrill.
It needed to be shorter. They could, I mean, I think we needed to see it, but it could have been a way shorter.
I don't think we needed to see it at all. That was thrown in there for little young boys who watch HBO and say, ooh, I get to see a woman in her underwear. Because any adult person watching this show, and I'm sure that's a bulk of their audience, it's annoying. He could have done that so much better without that stupid dream sequence. We got too many damn dream sequences in this damn thing. You know, there's other stuff he could do. It was totally stupid and totally beneath any thinking adult. It was annoying. That's my opinion. Anyway, let's move on.
Okay, what do you want to go to next?
I don't care.
Well, dang, is that going to ruin your whole experience of the
show? Hey, you know what? That ruined my whole experience of that episode. That and the fact that they just rushed through Lafayette's little Mavis part, you know, when they could have totally kept out that shit.
The only thing they rushed through on that, because to me, we had a little bit too much of trying to get in the house and all that crap.
Oh, but I thought that was excellent.
But they did rush through what happened to her.
What happened to her, and then the digging.
And we didn't see, you know, instead of us seeing what actually happened
exactly
in a flashback, we had Lafayette talking about what happened.
And Mavis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mavis. And seeing this or hearing the sound effects. And to me, mm-hmm. I would have liked to see the scene.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I thought the part with them trying to get in the house was perfect because Jason did not want to hurt him because it was Lafayette.
Well, yeah.
Oh, but Terry had me dying.
Andy had me dying anyway.
Oh, yeah.
When he tried to get in, and Lafayette says, you sound like a white man, you. And he's like, of course I am.
He said, well, of course I'm a white man, you goddamn race. Oh, he was just off with that V. Oh, my God. Andy is just out of control.
But he knows he is.
He is.
He knows he is.
Like Jason said, he said, I'm so sorry, Jason. He said, yeah, but you know what? I've heard that too many times.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So make yourself useful.
Yeah. That was good. But
yeah, Terry was.
But I love the way that Mavis talked, though, because she said, she ended every sentence with either you or me.
Mm-hmm.
That was so cool, though. I thought that was really good. But, okay.
Terry was good, because you could see that he was having some flashes.
Oh, Terry was flashing back to being in the jungle.
We haven't seen that.
In the war.
In a while.
He said, okay, now we're going to do echelon five and
formation.
Yeah, Jesus says, you know what? I'm a nurse. I won't even pretend to understand what
and
you
to
just
me,
said.
The funniest part of that whole, well, Jason was funny. I love
Jason
him.
Was funny.
When Jesus drove up and he goes, Jesus, what are you doing
Jesus.
Here?
I know it.
And then when he was saying, okay, do y'all role play? And he ever come up with the character named Mavis?
Mavis? Oh, but and
like
he said, you know
look,
what?
I'm going to
pretend you didn't even say
yes.
that. I'm going in there. Okay, now this is my whole problem with the whole thing. I only have one problem with the whole scene.
Which one? The whole Lafayette Hastings
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, and that is, first of all, two things. First of all, where the hell he been for two episodes?
At work. You saw he had his clothes
yeah,
on.
Well, anyway, I just...
And Lafayette's been at work, too.
Yeah, but I just found it really irritating that we have not seen hide the hair of Jesus, and all of a sudden he comes in to save the day. Number two, didn't Granddaddy say he didn't have no goddamn powers?
No.
Yeah. That's what Granddaddy said.
No, he said, I don't need to show you your powers. I need to prove it to Lafayette.
Well, it seemed to me that he
doesn't really have powers. He has magic.
Well, okay. That is true. I don't know.
He knows how to practice magic.
I just didn't believe that whole part.
The only part that's unbelievable with the Lafayette and Jesus storyline is that, okay, they're scared of the vampires getting them.
Yep.
And Marnie has jacked them up in their mind. And by antagonizing the vampires, so they run off to Granddaddy's house
mm-hmm.
and tell Tara to run off to back to New Orleans. And they get back, and they're not scared anymore. They just go on about their business,
their
going
daily
to work.
Life, like yeah. going to work and going
and doing whatever.
And how come? And then Lafayette hasn't touched base with Tara at all.
No, so that's the only part to me that's
yeah.
funny. But I mean, they have to pick and choose who all they cover. And I guess that was just a part they decided not to.
Well, they could have left out that goddamn Victoria's Secret shit and covered that.
We heard you, Sister J. We heard you.
Anyway.
Anyhow, but I really liked the scenes because he came in and he was scared she was going to shoot.
Oh, yeah. Did you see his eyes? So he was really good in that scene, though.
Yeah.
Because Jesus was looking like, he was looking wild-eyed, like, don't shoot me.
Yeah.
That was good. That was good.
And I like the line that he says, okay, now, but I need my Lafayette back, so it's time for you to go.
Yeah, I like that,
too.
Well,
where am I going to go? He goes, well, that ain't for us to know.
Yeah. We don't care.
You got to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I like that scene. I do wish they would have showed us more of what happened.
Me
and
too.
Then ain't nobody said shit about this nasty ass corpse that done pulled up.
Nasty.
Everybody
ass
touching the shit like it ain't nothing.
Yeah.
And then when Lafayette does wake up or come to, and she
don't toss a thing or nothing.
He ain't tossed that shit back.
Or nothing.
And then this is okay. Yeah, I remember the part that I didn't like about the scene.
Okay.
The part I didn't like about the scene is when she finally does.
Get out.
You know, when he finally does leave his body, everybody's like, oh my goodness, and Terry's the only one that says, holy fuck, like, yeah, I'd be freaked the hell out.
Well, everybody else is just like, they're in shock.
She leaves and she says, thank you, Lafayette. And he says, you're welcome, bitch.
No, he says, you got it, bitch.
I didn't like that.
I did not like that.
I'm like, first, Lafayette would not say that.
He wouldn't have said it. At that moment.
No, he wouldn't have said that like that.
No.
Why would you? No, I didn't like that at all. Because instead of him being, what happened? What's been going on? And kind of scared a little bit about what someone has taken over his body. Or if he knew what was happening, he would have said something about, you could have found another way. Or, I don't know.
He would have said something. Now, first of all.
I just did not like that he said
that. Okay, first of all. I believe Lafayette knew what was happening to him. It's not like with Marnie and Antonia, because Lafayette had already been possessed by Tia Luca and
Tio.
And he remembered and knew what the uncle did. So I think all that while he was aware of who Mavis was and what she was doing. It's just that, you know, she had control over the body. But no way would he have said in response to her thank yous, you got it, bitch.
No.
I didn't like that. I won't say what I want to say, but anyway.
I don't like that.
That was some bogus shit, because Lafayette would not have said that.
No.
He would not have said that in that way. No. No way, no how. So they dropped the ball on that mess.
And ain't nobody talking about how nasty as it was
to pull a corpse out of there.
Those little bones up out that grave.
And I thought that was sad when Hoyt said, wait a minute, I think I found something. And then Jesus was down in the hole, and she says, did you find the baby? And he says, I found both of y'all. I thought, oh, shit. I wouldn't have seen. Oh, no.
Yeah, it's nasty.
Mm-mm. I wouldn't have touched it.
I wouldn't have touched it.
But we already know Jesus nasty.
Yes, so he is.
And he didn't wash his hands of nothing and went to touching her and then, you know, touching Lafayette.
Well, they're outside. I mean, you know.
But
that's the part I did not like about,
but yet,
about that scene.
But, I mean, I think the reason why the other people didn't say anything is because they were just in shock. Arlene was just amazed. She was just in shock. And when Mavis was hugging that little baby, you see a little black baby. Oh, what a cute little baby. But did you see the way Arlene was looking at Mavis and the baby? And it's like, to me, I don't know. It was like Arlene
understood. They always have really cute babies.
They do.
The other part that I thought was cute was when Jesus finally talked out of the house, and they came to get the baby.
Uh-huh.
And Terry says, "We still love you, Lafayette. You know, these things happen."
Oh,
because Terry, sometimes you snap. Some shit on.
I just love Terry, though.
Yeah,
that was so
you
sweet.
You never know when you might feel the urge to snatch up a baby. So hey, but we still love you.
I know Terry was so good.
That was funny. Mm-hmm. That was funny. So now everybody gonna know that he's a medium.
Yes. All them people right there know.
Well, everybody going to know because you know they're going to be talking.
Okay.
Okay, so do you want to talk about Antonia and...
Oh, she'd have lost her ever-loving mind.
Honey, Antonia but you know what? Ride the body with it.
But you know what? The whole time I was watching her scenes over at the Goddess Emporium, the whole time in my mind, I just kept saying to myself, that's what y'all bitches get. That's what y'all get. Ooh. You know? All the of witches, them. The yeah, witches. All of them. That's what y'all get for following her. You know? I mean, she turned on them quick. And Roy is just crazy. He just off.
No, he's not crazy.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not crazy.
He like that violence.
No, Roy don't even like the violence. All Roy wants to be is accepted. Because you know in the other episode when they said we need to get two or three more friends to help join us, he said, well, I don't have any other friends.
Yep.
So Roy's only issue is that he wants to be included and feel like he's got a friend. And that's what he feels like that's the only reason he's following Antonia. And you could tell because when she said, well, does anybody else want to leave or go somewhere? Mm-hmm. He's like, no, I'm here. Hey, I don't want to be anywhere else. And when she said, well, thank you, Roy. You're the only one with some sense. Mm-hmm. See how he was smiling.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I don't fault the other witches because their main thing before they realized that she was crazy and that she was trying to kill up everybody is they wanted to protect themselves against the vampires and they thought they were making that spell.
That's true.
Tara's been terrorized by him. Holly's been terrorized by him. Blah, 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 blah. Now that they know, they're trying to stand up, but she done turned and flipped the script on them.
She sure did. Quick.
Locked their ass up. And I love the part when Holly said, well, Marnie, this isn't how... And she said, my name is Antonia.
I know it.
That was good.
Everybody look... And
that's when you knew. Well, bitch done went off.
Oh, yeah. She
chick done went out. Mm-hmm. So she done got all of them hostage.
And, you know, I thought it was... I really liked the scene when Debbie went to the Emporium, you know, to fool them so Sookie could supposedly sneak in the back.
Yeah.
This child is supposed to be sneaking in the back and falling all over. I was saying to myself, well, damn, girl, you're supposed to be sneaking. And you making all that daggum noise.
That's true, though.
I'm falling all into stuff. I thought, oh, Lord, have mercy.
That would be me. I would be trying to tiptoe and trip over something, knock all kind of stuff over.
That was funny, though.
Yeah, but it was good.
And it wasn't until I saw Sookie.
That you realized
that I realized that Debbie was...
helping.
Was the decoy.
Right.
Yeah, she was the decoy.
Me, too, because when Debbie... Well, I was surprised when... Debbie pulled up in front of, and you don't know where she's pulled up in front of, and she's getting ready to get out. I thought she was going back home, was going to try to fool Alcide into thinking she didn't take any drugs or V.
Yeah, see, I didn't know where she was.
I didn't know where she was. And so when she knocked on the door, I was like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. What's she going to do?
Yeah, because, see, on purpose, they didn't show you the house.
Right.
Because otherwise you would have known, So, you know, I thought, That was good, though.
I kind of like that, and it kind of made sense until Antonia said, you know, the only thing I know about werewolves is they don't like to announce themselves. I was like, oh, shit.
I know. I thought she was going to get Debbie for sure. I thought, Lord, she's going to put something on Debbie now.
She's going to get something done to you.
But that was good when Debbie said, no. Sookie Stackhouse, I bought her to you. And, it was so good when Tara kept saying, okay, are you listening to me? And she kept looking at her, you know, so Sookie would
get the hint. Get
listen
the
in
out.
On her mind. Well, she wanted her to listen in on her mind.
Right.
That's why she was saying, we're all being held hostage here. Bill's at the, whatever, Dorchester Hotel or whatever, you know.
Okay, now the part I did not like about that scene is, to me, it was dumb.
What?
Was at the end, Sookie gets out, and Tonya's like, okay, it's time for us to go. So she grabs Eric and Roy, and she bars up all the doors.
Yeah.
Tara gonna go put her effing hand on the doorknob, burns herself. Okay, I'll let that slide, even though that was stupid.
That she wouldn't have done that.
Then she says, go check the other door to the other chick, and the dumbass chick does it. And burns her shit up. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That
was real lame.
Who wrote that?
I know. I was real. First of all,
if you saw somebody get blisters and shit on their hand, who in the hell is going to go look at the other door and open it?
Well, first of all, Tara would not have even held the door because two things. Number one, she already in the very first scene had said when she said, well, what if we don't follow you or stay here or whatever? Said, and Antonia got right up in her face and said, try it and you'll find out.
Right.
Now, that was the direct threat. And so Tara wasn't having it. And then when Tara was telling Suki we're being held hostage and where Bill was, and she says, charge me now. Right. You know, so she could. And then did you see her look when she says, I'm sorry, Antonia, but she charged me. Y'all saw it. You know, she was looking on sheepish. Tara is getting, just like the rest of them, she's getting afraid of them. Because what were they all doing when Suki came into the back? They was all laying around on little cots and stuff.
Well, they were asleep. It was nighttime.
Well, yeah, but, you know, they weren't trying to go rattle no doors and shit. They done seen the woman already put a spell and the doors go like this by themselves.
Yeah, I know.
Tara would not have walked up to the damn door and put her hand on the doorknob.
We can excuse that. Let's just say she forgot herself and tried to open the door. But then why would you run and tell somebody, oh, try the back door or try the front?
That was totally lame. That was totally lame. Mm-hmm. See, I don't like stupid stuff like that.
Me neither.
You know, it insults your intelligence. It's like, anyway.
So that's the only part about that that I didn't like. I still like, well, I mean, Marnie's a bad character, a bad
guy. Yeah, Antonia's bad.
I like the way she's doing it. I like the way she done went.
I mean, she is bent on getting them, period.
Yeah.
And I think the whole reason why she's using Eric, first of all, Eric's the oldest vampire around, so he's the most powerful. And then she wants to get Bill because when Bill admitted, I'm the one that sent him there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's so you the one doing all that, huh?
Well, I think she just wants to break down the whole...
Well, she does, but she wants to get Bill.
Organization,
because that's what Eric's task is.
Yeah.
Is to kill the king. Because that's what he told Suki.
Bill.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. That was the only part on that I didn't like.
Yeah.
But, and then when they get to the hotel...
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I didn't quite... I thought was kind of lame, considering HBO... is usually so good at this.
What?
Is when they went and they snatched up those security guards from the balcony and they were hanging there and their supposed guts were hanging out. Mm-hmm. It looked so fake. It looked like...
I didn't think it looked fake.
They all looked plasticky.
Well, I mean, they might have been plastic dummies, but I mean,
and then when
I wasn't bothered about
the crowd
that.
And people were flipping up in the air.
Oh, that was good. I like that. That was good. Because they was getting them.
To me, that was funny, though.
Yeah, if they was getting them, though, see. They was getting them. But yeah, I like that whole scene where Eric made them follow him. And then when he was in the kitchen, he said, oh, you cornered me. I surrender. I mean, just that deadpan, you know, because that was what he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
So she could, like, Antonia could work her spell, you know, and Roy's in the background. Ooh, this is great. You know, I'm thinking, Lord, Roy, get a grip. But, Nan Flanagan had me cracking up.
Yes.
First of all, I love that character anyway. I really like the actor that's playing Nan Flanagan, but
she's a little bit like Pam, have you noticed?
Yeah, a little
bit. She is trying to be prim and proper on TV, but then in her real life. She's kind of the opposite of Pam.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to be prim and proper. She likes to wear the leathers and the black colors and
but when she was
hair back.
When she was at Bill's little mansion and Jessica was crying to her and it was so hilarious when she said, you know, I have often thought about putting my career on hold and become a maker, and these last several hours with you have really squelched that idea forever for me. I was dying laughing because Jessica was whining, bless her heart. You know, but she's sad.
She's a kid.
Oh, but it was so funny. And then when they was all down in their cells in the basement and Nan Flanagan and Bill was fussing. Did you see Jessica? She just looking like, I'm getting some information here. Oh, it was funny.
I like that Bill was questioning her. He's like, it's your fault. He says, I tried to tell you, but you don't listen. You don't want to think about nothing but you and your headlines. She was getting rapped. She was getting mad.
Say that to my face. And she said, man, I am really sorry now that we got rid of Queen Sophie Ann. I'm thinking, oh, no, she didn't go there.
And I think that's what made Bill really mad.
Oh, yeah, it made him real mad. Oh, they was arguing real good. But yeah, when she said, oh, I want you to say that to my face when we ain't chained down.
He was trying to get her to say, but she would never say, why is it so important that we keep having this ceremony?
Yeah.
You know, and she never did really, she kind of started to say something, the Festival of Tolerance, but she never did finish what she was going to say.
Well, and another, I guess a lot of people thought it was funny. I thought it was stupid. When they were on the stage waiting for their turn to speak at this tolerance thing, and Bill's looking around and he's saying, how many other vampires are here? And she said, well, other than the security staff, just you and I. And he says, well, isn't that kind of dumb? He says, how are you going to have a conference about the living dead when there's no living dead there? He said, isn't that like having a civil rights protest without any black people? First time I heard that, I'm sitting there thinking, oh, no, they didn't put that stupid shit in there.
Why is that stupid?
Because it's stupid.
No, to me,
that's another one of those lecture things. I don't like people to do that shit. Oh,
Lord. Sister J, I think you're reading too much.
Hey, you know what? I was irritated by this whole episode. So by the time they got to that part, no. And then she says,
her part was more irritating than his.
They're called African Americans. And I'm thinking, and she says, and then maybe if they would have stayed home, there wouldn't have been no bloodshed or some shit like that. Yeah. And I'm thinking, what the fuck? That's what I'm thinking. I said, hurry up and get these two damn people off.
No, I liked his look when he was looking at her.
Oh, he looked at her like she was crazy.
What is with her?
Like she had been smoking something or something.
They just don't like each other.
No, they don't.
Which is obvious. And so even when he gets up to talk, she's rolling her eyes. When she's talking, he's rolling his eyes.
Right. But it, for the camera, though, they're just so cordial to one another. Yeah. And she gives him a kiss on the cheek and is clapping. I thought that was hilarious, too. Because in front of the camera, anyway, both of them are just so cordial to one another, you know. And then Bill starts talking. And then in runs Sookie. Bill! Oh, God. I agree with Nan. She said, oh, fucking Jesus Christ. No, she said, oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
Okay,
well, hey, you know, I felt the same way, Nan. Even though I don't want Bill to be killed or anything, but hey.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to Jason and Hoyt and Jessica.
Oh, that was funny.
So Jason helps Hoyt fix his door.
Well, first of all, when we first see Hoyt.
We already went through all that.
Well, wait a minute. No, we didn't. When we first see Hoyt, who got a rooster as their ringer on their phone? I was dying laughing.
That would annoy me.
Oh, that rooster was crowing. And I thought, who got a rooster in there? And it was his dumb phone.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And you could see he'd been drinking beer and whiskey all night because there's all kind of empty cans and stuff, yeah. You know. And he started boxing up Jessica's personal belongings from the house. And he put on the box, "For you, monster."
I know that's
awesome. Oh, That was wrong. So then, of course, you know, as he's looking in the refrigerator, that's when Lafayette comes out with the baby and runs him out the house with the gun. But anyway, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, so then Jason is helping him fix the door, sees the, what's her name?
Andy broke the door.
No, when Jason's helping Hoyt fix his door.
Oh, he saw that cassette tape. I mean, that CD.
I forgot the name of the girl.
What was the... Yeah, because I never knew what CD. But Jason started kind of laughing and saying, is this yours?
It's that girl who... Taylor Swift.
Oh.
It was Taylor Swift. I couldn't think of her name real quick for some reason.
Oh, well, she's okay.
Well, he's laughing because he's thinking, my big... bad friends got Taylor Swift. He's
okay.
Like, oh no, that's hers. Take this to her.
Uh-huh.
And Jason's like, well, this ain't my responsibility to do that. He's like, well, you're my best friend. Who else is supposed to do it?
And that was cute, though.
I like that.
That was cute. That was cute. Yeah.
So he goes over there, and she's looking cute.
She did look cute.
And she's like, oh, Jason. I thought she'd be mad and kind of yell at him for kicking her out the
house. Oh, no, she likes him.
And, but she wasn't, and the cutest thing to me about that scene is that he had scratched out your monster on the box.
I thought that was hilarious.
That was cute.
He had taken a magic marker and blacked it all out.
Yep.
Oh, that was so cute. That was really cute.
And then the other thing, that I thought was cute, because Jason always says the wrong thing, is he says, I think I'm paraphrasing here, but... that's basically what he said. I'm thinking, paraphrasing.
I had the words on and I saw that.
I rewinded it the first time. I was like, did he say parrot?
Oh, Jason, poor thing.
He's so cute.
He is. He is cute, though.
But, yeah. So, as they're talking and she's looking sad and he's saying, well, I'm going to leave. Of course, she's batting her eyes at him.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, they're in the truck.
Okay.
In the back of the truck, getting out.
Having sex.
And they did have their clothes on, partly.
I think that's because they was outside in the truck, though.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, probably they're trying to say they didn't have time to get all their clothes on.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That was a cute scene.
But had they been in the house in the bed, see, that'd been different.
Yeah.
See.
So Jason, who he's got, he's going to feel bad.
He's going to feel bad, but... Hoyt had already said, I don't never want to see her again.
But
that's what
still,
he said. Well, hey.
Your best friend's ex.
Well, hey.
The day after they broke up.
That's some bad shit. That's tacky. Because see, because it the way I grew up in my circle of friends, you don't even date no ex-boyfriend of any of your girlfriends ever.
Yeah.
I don't care if the girl... has went on to marry somebody else. You just don't do that. You know? Anyway.
Well, anyhow, so that I thought was cute, except Jason's probably going to be weird acting the next day.
Well, I never know.
Never know.
Mm-hmm.
When he thinks about it.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about Alcide and Marcus and
Debbie? Okay, wait. The only thing I got to say about this punk-ass Marcus... I bet I could kick his ass. What a punk. He is such a punk. You talk about somebody selling wolf tickets and can't do shit. He can't back up nothing. Because you notice he didn't start fighting until he had all them other guys in there fighting.
Well, he had all those guys for a reason.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they could hold him. Oh, you punk.
He was talking shit at first in Merlot's. But he wasn't going to kick off nothing at Merlot.
You noticed that, didn't you? And Tommy, wait a minute, because from Jump Street, Tommy was real, real nasty to him. He says, I'm looking for Sam Merlot. Who are you?
Yeah.
But it was the way Tommy did it. Like, who the hell are
first
you?
First of all, when he smelled him.
He smelled him.
The thing. And then, you know, Tommy's already... He's been raised to fight. That's all he's been
That's
raised to
all
do.
He knows.
So he immediately starts all that shit talking.
Tommy was perfect, though. I love that scene, though.
Yeah.
He was perfect. He says, well, who are you? He said, who wants to know? He says, I'm Marcus. Marcus what?
He knows who it is.
He says, well, Marcus, he knows what my name is. What you want? Tommy was great.
It was so maybe they wanted it to be predictable. But we knew he was going to shift into Sam.
We knew he was going to go instead.
And go on over
so
there.
So why do you think Tommy did that? Why do you think he did that?
I think he was trying to kind of like apologize to Sam and try to take care of this for Sam. Plus, he probably had some aggression he wanted to get out on his own. I don't know. I think he kind of wanted to do something to kind of apologize to Sam for what he did.
I don't think so at all. I think Tommy did it because he felt so guilty. He wanted to be punished.
Beat up?
Yeah. He wanted to be punished because he didn't fight back or nothing. We know Tommy can deal.
That's true. He didn't.
He didn't fight back or nothing.
Yes, that's true.
And the only reason he even changed back to Tommy is when that he got that last kick.
Well, he's hurting.
Well, yeah. But he was already hurt.
Right.
See?
Well, that's a good point because, yeah.
He didn't fight back or nothing.
I was like, he's not really fighting back. He's just letting him throw him from one person.
He didn't fight back at all. He didn't throw one punch. I watched it twice. He didn't throw one punch. He just let them hit on him.
Of course, is that whenever it's Tommy being Sam,
the
way he walks is so funny. His hair is a little bit more scraggly.
It is.
Like up in the air. And the way he talks is a little different, but he's like, I ain't touched her. You can't quit fucking somebody who you ain't never fucked in the first place.
I can't say that for my brother.
At first you think he's going to let it go because you know.
No.
And then he goes, but hey, my brother had it every which way.
And Mark is going to jump back. And wait a minute. First of all, when Alcee was flinging him off, he just flung little Marcus across. And he says, you promised me there wasn't going to be no beatdown. And Marcus says, well, he got in my face. And what did Alcee say? He said, so the fuck what? That's what he said. I like that. Go ahead, Alcee.
Alcee was looking too fine.
Alcee was ready. He said,
That tank t-shirt.
I know. He was looking good.
Looking good.
He was looking good.
He told Mark, you know, Marcus, little punk ass, says, well, hey, you know, what you doing later tonight?
Yeah.
Because you 6'6 and big as a door, so, hey, I figure he might listen a little better with you behind
him. Yeah. And I thought to myself, punk.
When you saw the other two fools, they was equally as big.
Uh-huh.
Because he knew he couldn't do
shit. Oh, man.
And Alcee just picked him up, just like he scooped up Sookie.
Sookie. And wait a minute. And this is what I didn't quite get. When Tommy did change back to Tommy, and Marcus said, oh, shit, that's his brother. Get him out of here. Why?
I don't know.
I didn't get that.
I didn't either.
See, I didn't get that.
I don't know. I don't know why he all of a sudden, at that point, was like, oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Fucked up.
Yeah, I done messed up. That's the brother.
Well, I think part of it probably has something to do with his parole officer, whatever he's on parole for.
Because
when Luna told him, you don't want me to call you a parole officer, do you?
Yeah.
He kind of backed the shit up.
He did.
Last time.
He did.
But, I mean, why would it make a difference if it was Sam or what? Maybe once he calmed down and Alcee pushed him away and said, look, we don't want to beat down. And he realized, okay, I don't beat this fool up.
But maybe what Alcee thought was going to happen is that they would beat him to death and therefore they could just get rid of the body and everything else. And
Alcee?
Marcus.
Nah, I don't know if he wanted
I don't know.
To kill him.
But I don't know why he said that.
I don't know.
And so, yeah, you're right. Alcee picks Tommy up.
Or maybe
up
he's thinking, oh, shit, now, that shifter that was telling me we can take it outside is going to be after me now that I beat up his brother instead of him.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he's scared of.
It could be. I don't know.
Punk.
He is a punk. I wanted to kick his ass myself.
So stringy hair. Ooh. And when he came in and we're lost and left, and you could see how stringy his hair was.
It was so stringy. But the thing that gets me is, when he left Merlot's and went back to his little clubhouse or whatever the hell that is, and he was giving Alcee the beer, and he handed Alcee the beer, and then he's leaning up against this thing like he all big and bad, and I'm thinking, you little short-ass punk. You know, that's what I was thinking at the time. Ooh.
Okay, let's talk about the real Sam, Luna, and Emma.
Oh, yeah, that was really cute, I thought.
Yeah, I like their scenes.
You know, when he was trying to tell Luna, well, you know, I'm not scared of Marcus come back here. Hey, and trust me, Sam don't have nothing to be afraid of because he could beat that fool down.
Yeah,
but anyway, and so he suggests they all go camping. He said, well, let's nobody be here then if he comes back here. And we'll all go camping.
Yeah.
That was really cute.
That was
really cute. When he says, well, if you're worried about the tent, you know, I'm a three tent person.
Multiple tent owner.
Yeah, multiple tent owner. That was really cute, though.
That was cute.
I like that. So next we see them. We see Luna and Sam talking over breakfast, and the little baby girl, Emma, she's chasing a bunny rabbit.
But I thought it was cute when she says, these nature bunny rabbits are just, I don't know.
Oh, she says bunnies.
The school bunnies let you hold them, and they just sit there. These nature bunnies just run all around. They're scared.
That was so cute.
And I liked it when Sam said, yeah, that's because the nature bunnies are smart, and they know how to do. The school bunnies are fat and lazy. And I like when she says, oh, we don't stay fat.
Mm-hmm.
Which, to me, was a really good touch because mm-hmm. to that scene. Mm-hmm. Because that's what you do. When people aren't around kids, they don't know there's certain words they probably
exactly
don't want their kids to know or mm-hmm. talk about. So they, to you know... I like that they built right. that in. To me, it made it more real,
mm-hmm.
more of a real scene.
But he immediately said, oh, sorry, you know, yeah. and just went on, see. Oh, but that
and
was so
when she,
cute.
When she was saying, well, when I grow up, I hope I'm a shifter so I can shift into anything I want to. And the mom's all concerned, like, well, oh, why do you say that? Why, you know?
Oh, but her explanation was just so cute. So I can shift into a bunny and I could pet myself whenever I wanted to.
Yeah.
Oh, that was just adorable.
And it's
just
like the parent to say, well, whatever you turn out to be,
you
it'll
be perfect.
And I loved when she said, Mom, why are you all serious? I just want to pet a bunny.
Yeah.
It ain't even call for all that.
Yeah, that was so cute.
That was cute.
When Sam says, well, hey, I'll go get you one of those little nature bunnies. I knew he was going to shift.
Yeah, I did too.
Oh, that was just sweet, though. That was just
it was really sweet.
Mm-hmm. So here comes this big... That was a big-ass bunny.
Yeah.
A big, fat bunny. One of those brownish-gray ones, like
yeah,
you find out in the woods, you know?
I saw it. Mm-hmm.
It was so cute. Just so she could pet a bunny.
That was cute.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. So, you know... The day goes on, and of course they intersperse Tommy getting beat up by Sam
right.
with Luna sneaking into his tent.
Well, she didn't sneak. She just came into his tent.
Sliding into his tent.
He was reading the book.
Trying to slob on him.
Oh, she did more than slob on him.
She sure did.
Yeah. So
worked it out.
Yep.
So, to me... I like the scenes with Luna and Emma and Sam. I think it's cute.
Yep.
I didn't really like them kind of cutting back and forth between Tommy getting beaten up.
I know.
As Sam and them having
yeah.
sex and stuff. But
yeah.
I did like those scenes with them. I think that's
cute. I did too.
And when he's teasing her, I think that was cute.
Yeah. I thought that was really cute.
Yeah.
Too. I did enjoy that part.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't the best episode of the season.
No, it was
but
not.
It wasn't. I mean, there were parts of it that I didn't like, but, you know, I still like the show.
Like I said.
I liked it better after I watched it more than once.
When I finished watching it, even the second time, I was so disappointed.
Yeah.
Okay, what else we got?
I think we covered all the characters.
Okay.
So now let's get into our email.
Okay.
Okay, our first email is from Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
Sarah says, sisters, did you hear that sound during this episode? That was me snoring. I give it a 4 on the True Blood potential scale. A few very brief observations. How did Mavis know how to change a disposable diaper?
That's a good point.
It's just like a regular cloth diaper.
That's true, but it's got those little plastic tabs
yeah.
and stuff.
And to me, that scene, we didn't talk about that, but to me, that scene was more of him taking off that plastic diaper
mm-hmm.
and letting him breathe and have, like, cloth or something.
Yeah,
I don't think he changed the diaper. I think he just took it off.
Yeah. I think so, too, because we didn't see no diaper.
There wouldn't
be diapers in that house.
No, Hoyt would not have diapers, and she
I think
wouldn't
you're
know
right.
what a plastic diaper was, so yeah. I think she just took it off.
Yeah.
Jesus dug up a dead baby? Really? And Arlene and Terry continue to stand around watching? That's the time to hightail your ass out of there. Damn it. Tara survived another episode.
Oh, man.
She doesn't like Tara. Jessica reads Twilight and listens to Taylor Swift. that figures. And there are no bedrooms at Queen Bill's Castle. Or Queen, she said Queen Bill's, but King Bill's Castle. And they kept their clothes on. Jason doesn't seem too traumatized by gang rape. Sookie's dream was dumb. The only purpose was to continue this campaign to redeem Bill. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for Eric to move on already. Mm-hmm. Bring back real Eric and bring in someone who deserves him. Let Sookie rot in another boring love story with Bill. Sookie says she can't forgive Debbie for trying to kill her. Well, Bill tried to kill her twice, and that was easily forgotten. Mm-hmm. Sister, I predict Tommy bites the dust. Luna, stop howling. Your daughter is asleep a few feet from you. Mm. Alcide provided more boredom as usual. I'm convinced his only purposes are butt shots, carrying an injured body for help, and looking confused. Have a good week, sisters. Sarah, a.k.a. Mrs. Cal Drogo. Just kidding, Sister J. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah, for that email. Man, you sure are down on Tara and Jessica. Dang.
She really only had one comment for Tara and Jessica.
Yeah, but she don't like them.
No.
But well, thank you for the email.
Thank you, Sarah. And that is a good point. Luna, I mean, her daughter was asleep, but still, she was just a few feet from her.
Yeah, well, people do that all the time when they go
and
camping.
I'll see. I like the butt shots. But, you know, I liked him in this episode. They gave him something more.
They gave him something more to do. Well, yeah. And he's already agreed now to be in the hierarchy of the pack. So yeah. I see him being leader pretty soon because Mark is going to bite the dust because his mouth going to get him in trouble.
Okay, our next email is from Terry.
Hey, Terry.
Hey there. Did you enjoy the August 21st episode at all? ? Mm-hmm. I really thought it sucked. I gotta be honest.
Yep.
I'm gonna watch it again and see if I missed something, but my initial response was aggravation and boredom.
See?
What happened? They were going so well a few episodes ago. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
Thanks, Terry.
You know what? I agree with you, Terry. You know, I'm saying I was really disappointed, but yeah, I was bored too. Yeah, you're right. I was just bored. I mean, there were a few scenes that I really liked. You know, I liked well enough to watch them again, you know. But for the most part, it was disappointing to me.
Yeah, there were some boring parts or, I don't know, parts I didn't like in this episode. And I will say, I think this is one of the weakest of the season.
I think so. Which is a shame because they only got three more left.
But there were still some really good parts in it.
Okay,
our next email is from JD.
Hey, JD.
How are you doing, sisters? This is JD, and I have found and listened to your podcast this whole season with great enjoyment.
Oh, good.
You have caused great laughing on my drive to and from work, and I thank you for some great moments, including shades, clothes, and black minis. I'm rewatching this week's episode. Yes, the spelling was intentional, and versus, and he spelled weeks, W-E-A-K.
Oh, yeah, week. That's
and
right.
Versus sharing my disappointment in this episode over the rest of the season, I thought I would just let you know how wonderful your podcasts are and how I plan on listening to the Fringe podcast this season as well.
Okay, cool.
Although I must say that while I was disappointed in Sookie's dream, Andy's crazy V usage, Tommy's stupidity, and the overall handling of Lala's big scene, Terry was too damn calm. I did enjoy Lala's acting. You got it, bitch. Jessica's interaction with Dan, and I will always love Tara no matter what. She's just too damn fine. You ladies can have Eric and Alcide, but as a red-blooded, proud brother, I could watch Tara all night long.
I like Tara, too, though.
I do, too. Mm-hmm. Overall, this season, there has been a lot to enjoy, and this episode is just an exception. I hope the remaining three episodes are back to the quality I normally expect from Ball and Company. So let's talk about the more pressing questions. While I didn't enjoy much of the movie The Family That Prays, my favorite line in that movie is when Alfre Woodard and Kathy Bates are at the strip club, and Alfre says to Kathy Bates after she touches a male stripper, "Wash your hands, wash your hands." I also check who brought in which food and keep track of who washes their hands at work. I once worked for a CEO who would never wash his hands when he left the bathroom.
Oh, Lord.
He seemed like he was always in a hurry and didn't have the time to waste. I took the opportunity at a social event to share how many of us pay attention to who washes their hands and won't shake hands with people known to walk out too quickly while he was around. At least he started washing them whenever he saw me in the bathroom. Fortunately, he eventually left the company. Maybe washing his hands was too much, but I will never understand how people can be so nasty in the bathroom filled with urine and worse.
I know.
And not wash their hands.
Amen.
Mm. I grew up in the city, and even though I'm in the suburbs now, curtains and blinds are always drawn at night. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to see here, people. Move along. Although if I had to stay somewhere without them, I would have sex with my clothes on. Sex is too good to not try, so if creativity is needed, I'm all for it. Finally, while I am aware of a white Marcus, I've never heard of a Beulah that wasn't black.
Yeah.
Or, for that matter, a Tyrone. Just my two cents, and I think Erica Badu would agree. Please continue to keep up the great work, and I have to say that every time I hear Sister K exclaim, "Sister J," I'm usually shaking my head at Sister J as well and laughing at the same time. I also must admit to crushing on Sister K's voice. Ooh. Hey, JD. Maybe because it reminds me of Kim Coles from the TV show Living Single. How about to buy you ladies an adult beverage the next time we're all in Bon Temps? Stay cool, sisters. JD. Hey, JD.
Thank you, JD, for that. For that email.
Thank you, JD.
Oh, she gonna have a big head now.
No.
That was nice.
That was good. Thank you, JD. And yeah, that hand washing thing is just gross.
Oh, yeah. And the curtain thing, too, though. Yeah. So we glad that you closed your curtains and your blinds.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I agree with you. This episode was just a little blip in the season, because to me, the season's been great. We haven't had anything except for Eric's amnesia, or whatever we want to call it, mm-hmm. last too long and irritate us for a whole season.
Well, and we already knew at the beginning of the season that his amnesia was going to last for the whole season. But this, in my opinion, this episode was so disappointing, mainly because we only got three left. They need to get on with it.
Yeah.
You know, that's why it was so disappointing. If this type of episode had to happen like earlier in the season, then you say, oh, yeah, but we got the whole rest of the season, you know. We only got three episodes.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a bitter disappointment. But thank you for that email, JD.
Thank you, JD. Okay, our next email is from Miss J Squared.
Hey, Miss J Squared.
She says, hey, sisters, I just have one note about True Blood. I don't get the whole baby thing now that Mavis has left Lafayette's body and the mystery is solved. I mean, what was the point of all that? Ideas? Oh, I've been meaning to tell you, since you know I'm a half-sister, which Sister J hates me to say, I have a funny comment about the whole curtains blinds issue. One side of my family has the sunniest, most open houses you'll ever see. Some windows and sliding doors don't even have blinds on them. Mm-hmm. In fact, until recently, one of my uncles kept the door unlocked all the time, and this is in Southern California.
Lord.
And those that didn't, everyone knows how to get into their houses, because usually the back doors are unlocked and you only have to hop the fence to get in. Mm. Now, on the other side, it's the complete opposite. Everyone has blinds and curtains on top of them. Even in the daytime, those houses are so dark, you have to turn the lights on. Mm. I never thought about that until y'all mentioned it. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you for the show, Miss J Squared.
Thank you, Miss J Squared, for that email. And, you know, I used to live in Southern California, like, years and years and years ago. And when I was there, though, the people that were in the particular subdivision or area that where we lived, everybody had their curtains or blinds open in the daytime, and when it got dusk, everybody shut the shit up. You know, so, I mean, that's just the way it was. And you know, we lived in a neighborhood with, you know, black people, white people, Mexican people, and Asian people, and everybody did the same thing. So, you know, it I just assumed that, you know, most people did that, but
every family has done it differently from based on our comments that we've gotten. So,
well, now that's true too.
It's
that's
just funny that something that we just normally do.
Yeah, because we were just raised that way.
Other people don't even think about it. So it's really funny. Well, thank you, Ms. J Squared. Okay, our next email is from Shalita.
Hey, Shalita.
Okay, she says, "Hey, Sister K and Sister J. Before I get to my episode comments, I want to I just want to say that I love you guys. I really do. Folks on the train giving me the side eye for disturbing their quiet because I'm laughing listening to y'all. Got to keep my office door closed when I listen because I laugh loud and even louder at your podcast. Thanks for that. Much needed.
Yeah.
I just never get a chance to comment when I really, really want to. So I'm finally sending this email.
Okay.
Now on to True Blood episode 409. As much as I've enjoyed the earlier adorableness and lack of clothing of amnesiac Eric, it's time for the sheriff to come back.
Yep.
It was quite pleasant seeing the leather-clad badass Eric in Sookie's dream, and that's the Eric she loves.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoyed that, but then Bill had to show up and ruin my fun. It was interesting that her dream Bill was dressed like old Bill, the one she first met. Looks like she still hasn't realized that that was liar Bill, and an act he put on for her to fall for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Bill that kept his true self from her. I prefer Queen Bill. That's the second person that said Queen Bill.
Ooh.
He's himself and not a bad ruler. He's a lot more enjoyable when he's not with her.
Yep.
She seems to make the men wussies. If she ever hooks up with regular Eric, I really hope she doesn't make him go against his nature. That would be a travesty. Quite frankly, both fams are better off without her.
Yep.
And clearly the whole dream sequence was written by a man, because no woman is going to have herself scantily clad in heels while the men are fully dressed.
Thank you.
Even though the clothing choices were very telling about how Sookie sees them. But in my True Blood threesome fantasy, Bill's nowhere near it. And Eric and Alcide are wrestling for me only wearing loincloth and covered in oil. I'm just saying, laugh out loud. Girl, that's right.
That's it. Yeah, that's a good scene.
Loincloth. And oil. There you go.
Works for me.
I'd have to work Bill in there somewhere, though.
No.
He looking too sexy.
Mm. Maybe Sam, but not Bill.
Oh, shoot. Sam.
Sam.
Okay, four of them. On to the last episode. I love the Bill Nan bitch fest.
Oh,
hilarious.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
That was good.
And Nan with Jessica was hysterical. Plus, despite being on opposite sides, Tara and Sookie still have a connection.
Yep.
She knew exactly what to say to clue Sookie into the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Love the stuff with Lala Mavis. Very touching, well acted, and what a beautiful little baby.
Yep.
Loads of cuteness with both babies in that scene. Plus, now we see Jesus's brujo powers, which should come in handy in releasing Antonia from Marnie.
That's true.
Now, on to the hot stuff. Because despite the Eric hotness, the threesome wasn't hot. Thank you so much, True Blood, for that lovely scene with Alcide and his well-toned ass. Really, thank you. Thank you very much. And always keep him either naked or in tanks. And she says naked.
Naked.
And so always keep him either naked or in tanks and growling. All good things. I agree. Speaking of Alcide, I cracked up that Debbie was up there in bed watching Cheaters. Too funny. Now on to Jessica and Jason. They are hot together, but the guilt factor kind of ruins it for me.
Uh-huh.
You just know that whole situation is not going to end well. I agree with that.
Yeah, that's true.
He's going to feel so bad later.
Mm-hmm.
And why were Sam and Luna so loud with the little girl in the tent next tent over? But that scene with the bunny was adorable, and therefore securing Sam a spot in Luna's pants. Speaking of Sam, I really hope the werewolf beat down kills Tommy. It was nice of him to take the hit for Sam, but he just needs to die now.
Aww.
Oh, I like Tommy.
I like Tommy, too.
Because he's got that gruffness,
yeah,
and uncouthness enough,
yeah,
to make it interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, somebody's got to die.
Yeah.
On to the witches. Antonia is straight crazy. Her and Roy.
Mm-hmm.
Why is she trapping those folks in? They just want to go home, and I don't think they'll be joining hands with her anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
And now she not only has Eric under her spell, but the three other sheriffs, including the Black Hottie.
Yep.
I hope he doesn't get killed, because they hardly ever have black vampires.
Ain't it the truth?
Plus, he's cute. And I know Eric isn't going to really kill Bill on Sunday, but I look forward to him smacking him around some. That will be fun. I'm sure some cast members are going to die by the end of the season. I just hope it's not Tara. As annoying as she is, I don't want her to die.
Yep.
I still have hope they can redeem her character. And where the heck was Sam? Guess she was still in the cemetery looking for Eric. Only three episodes left.
Sam?
Pam.
Oh, well, you said Sam.
Oh, sorry.
Where the heck was Pam?
Where the heck was Pam? I guess she was still in the cemetery looking for Eric, which is true.
Didn't see Pam. I bet she is. Well, I don't know, though, because when Bill forbid her to chomp on Tara, she used that vampire speed and went somewhere. So, I don't know.
Only 3 episodes left. I'm looking forward to them, but they better not do something stupid like kill Eric, because that is completely unacceptable in any way, shape, or form. Or have Sookie back with Bill, because that's just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I look forward to your next podcast, and I concur about the shades. They are closed at my house, but my 76-year-old mom leaves one in the living room open so she can look out the window.
Lord.
I just have to get
Lord have mercy.
I just have to get used to it because I don't want to take her window viewing away from her. Thanks for the laughs, Shalita.
Well, you know what? I mean, if she's looking out the daggum window when it's nighttime, somebody looking in on her. Looking out the window.
Look, Sister Jay, she's 76.
Well, hey.
Give her her last pleasures of looking out the window at night with the shades open.
Lord have mercy.
So I agree with you, Shalita. Don't take that away from her.
Lord.
Maybe turn the light off or something.
Turn the light out. Thank you, Shalita, for that
email. Thank you, Shalita.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, our next email is from Paris.
Hey, Paris.
Hey again, sisters. Hope you lovely ladies have had another excellent week. Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely ladies.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's safe to start by saying that they need to start getting those Emmys ready because this season is on fire. Across the board, the acting, the writing, and storytelling and effects have been stepped up tenfold. Nelson, Fiona, Sam, Jim, Deborah, Ryan, and Steven have blown me away every time they've been on screen. On the subject of the episode, I love that we got to see a lot of the secondary characters involved in this one. The story of Mavis was wonderfully written. Mm-hmm. Seeing Lafayette take on her spirit and have to relive her pain and realization was fantastic. Arlene, Andy, and Terry's reactions had me dying laughing.
Yep.
Jason and Jesus' interaction was comedy gold as well. When you two role play, does Lafayette ever pretend to be a woman named Mavis? Only Jason could deliver a line like that
I
and
know
be
it.
Dead serious about it. Priceless. After laying Mavis to rest, I have a feeling Lala and Jesus are going to be a big key to defeating Antonia and possibly driving her out of Marnie.
Of course.
Speaking of which, I find it very interesting that Antonia is holding her Wiccan followers against their will the same way she was 400 years ago.
Yep.
In a way, she is becoming the fanatic terrorist Bill spoke of a few episodes ago. She's even willing to sacrifice innocent human lives just to prove her point. I don't know if this is intentional, but you can even hear her accent cracking, hinting that she is losing that calm focus she had when she first possessed Marnie. Side note about Tara. Girl, if you see that Antonia closes all the doors, locks, and then curses them,
ain't that the
why
truth?
Are you going to try and break out with your bare hands?
That's what I'm saying.
More importantly, why in the hell are you going to tell someone else to go try the front doors? Thank you.
That's what we're saying.
I need to know who wrote that ignorant-ish.
Thank
is
you.
Is probably the only witch with some sense.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. That was my whole problem with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good point.
Why would you tell somebody else to go touch you? You just got your head and burned
up. Yep, that's what you said.
And you know what? Her accent does crack back and forth, but I didn't take it as a character. I thought it was just the way that she was acting it, but maybe it is a crack
in
the character.
Yeah, I took it like Marnie sometimes is trying to reassert herself, you know?
I didn't take it that far.
Yeah, I did.
He says, the Jason-Jeff storyline was clocked from a mile away, but it was still sweet, if a little bit ridiculous.
Mm.
I guess they forgot they had a mansion right behind them. I found it very telling that the wolves backed down when Alcide stepped up and threw them around to get them off Tommy.
Mm. He big.
Yeah, he big.
He big.
They have definitely set up future strife between Marcus and Alcide / Murlock brothers.
Yep.
Or Mickens brothers. Did anyone else love that shot of Alcide trying to sneak back into bed butt naked and Debbie's wolf eyes shooting open?
Yep.
I love that scene.
Yep.
I also love that they've written her character so that you never know just when she's going to snap. She is definitely well on her way back to crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And I do. I agree.
Yeah.
You never know because I thought she was going to snap when she showed up at Sookie's house.
Me too.
But she didn't.
Mm-hmm. And then when she pulled them flowers from behind her back, because at first I thought, I was flinching like Sookie, like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
I know.
What she got?
Oh, Antonia's plot is in motion, and it looks like next week we are going to get a massive showdown between Team Zombie Vamp and Team Bill Sookie Nan. All I can say is Sookie better flash them fairy fingers.
That's right.
Thanks, sisters. Can't wait to hear from you. And P.S., I never got to answer your question. Always with the clothes off and the blinds closed.
That's right. That's right. Well, thank you so much for that email,
Paris.
Oh, that's good. That's some good observations.
Okay, our next email is from Robin.
Hey, Robin.
Greetings, sisters. I am emailing you from the past, which is to say I just finished listening to your discussion on Season 2's episode, Time Bomb. I decided recently to try out True Blood, and I'm loving it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for keeping your backlog of True Blood podcasts online so newbies like me have something to listen to.
Oh, cool.
I have fallen into a routine where I watch an episode of True Blood and then listen to your podcast the next day at work. I hope to catch up to Season 4 in a few weeks, so I thought it might amuse you both if I send in feedback now. I do hope that Sister J recovered from her bronchitis by now. That was actually me, Sister
Yeah, that
K.
was Sister K. Because she don't ever take medication. I take my allergy shit, so.
Oh, you know what? I will say, just a second, Robin. I have not had it since this past winter.
And why?
Because I've been taking my medication.
Exactly.
The last time was so bad, I said to myself, you know what? I'm tired of going to the emergency room, tired of not breathing. I got to take my medicine.
So all you people out there that have allergies, like, you know, the hay fever stuff, take your medicine. Take some Zyrtec, Claritin, something, but take it every day. Even though you feel fine,
yeah.
And maybe the pollen count is not high, take it every day.
If that don't work, go to the doctor, because I am now on Singulair, too.
That's right, see.
And Advair if I need it, and an inhaler and all this other crap. But
that's right, see.
Anyway, sorry to branch out like that.
But yeah, but hey. So
it's
hopefully,
true, at least twice a year I would have that crap.
Right. So hopefully this year, when we start our fall podcast, we won't get behind like we have in our Fringe podcast because she's sick.
True.
Okay.
My fault. Okay. I would send in theories, but I would send in theories I have, but I might be a little too late for that. I just wanted to say I am enjoying the show and the thoughtful discussion you both have. Also, just so you know, I'm a podcaster myself. I do a podcast about Alan Ball's previous show, 6 Feet Under, called FisherCast.
Mm.
Have either of you seen that show?
Yep.
I never did watch that
show. I watched all seasons of it.
On that podcast...
That's where I really, really fell for Michael C. Hall. He's now Dexter.
Oh, was he on that show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He goes on to say that he rewatches the show with two friends who are new to the show, and they treat it like it's still on TV, and so they podcast about that show.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you are still having as much fun watching True Blood now as you were in Season 2.
Yeah.
Some friends of mine have told me Season 4 has upset them, but I won't let them spoil me about why they think that. I look forward to hearing your thoughts in a few weeks when I finally catch up to you. Take care, your newbie fan, Robin, a mister, not a sister.
Oh, hey, go ahead, Robin,
hey,
a mister,
Robin.
Not a sister. I love it. Well, you know what, Robin? I agree with you. Don't let them spoil you from watching True Blood. Even though we have some problems with some of the characters and some of the dialogue that these writers are making them do and stuff, but we love True Blood. And I think every season has its good qualities and its bad qualities.
Me too.
There are some things that they could have changed in each season, but there are some really good stuff in each season as well. And even our worst season, which was Marianne and the B.E.s,
season two,
and the B.E.s are the Black Eyes.
No, wait, was that season two?
That was season three. No, season two.
No, it was season two.
It was season two.
Yeah.
And that was Marianne, the main ad, and the Black Eyes, the B.E.s we call them.
Yeah.
You know, that was my least favorite season, but even that had some real good stuff in it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So, yeah. So don't let other people who have seen every episode like us dissuade you, because it's worth watching.
It is. And yep. We're glad that you're listening to those old ones. I don't even remember half the stuff we talked about in those.
Oh, I remember some of the stuff. Oh, yeah. I remember some of the stuff. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you, Robin.
Okay, our next email is from Myron.
Hey, Myron.
Hello, sisters. This was a good episode, but damn if there weren't some questionable and borderline inappropriate lines this episode. Don't you think, sisters?
Yep.
I will tell you exactly what I mean.
Tell us.
First things first. Let's get started. Okay.
Hey, that's our line. Maybe we need to copyright that, you know?
No.
No. Go ahead, Byron.
Below the belt scene of the episode, when Andy had Terry on the ground outside of Hoyt's house.
I know.
Terry told him, "You just jealous because I got a wife and a life and a baby to love and you got nobody."
I know.
I mean, that was just cold. That was.
You know what? We didn't talk about that, but I felt sorry for Andy.
Well.
Oh, I did. And then Terry said, "Damn, you got strong."
Terry was just irate. He was
He was just out of it because, you know, his little baby was gone.
I don't know.
Oh, wait a minute. And we didn't talk about the fact either when Jason went over to the Bellflower house and to investigate, and Arlene was fussing at him about what you going to do and what you going to do to find our baby. Yeah. And she says, "I know exactly what happened. His daddy took him." And Jason's looking at Terry.
Ain't that his daddy?
Ain't you his daddy?
And Terry's like, Arlene,
Arlene Hush, you know. Oh, Lord, that was good.
Inappropriate scene of the episode. Sam turns into a bunny and Emma pets him.
Mm-hmm.
When Emma said to Luna, "I hope I turn out to be a shifter instead of a werewolf. If I'm a shifter, I can be my own bunny and pet myself whenever I want."
I thought that was cute.
This line coming from a five-year-old is a bit disturbing. What do you think?
I thought it was cute. I think you need to get your mind out the gutter. That's what I think. I thought it was cute.
It was cute. They didn't mean it like that, Myron.
No, that's what I'm saying, Myron. Okay, now.
Cutest line of the episode. Jessica to Jason. Is that all he said? Jason to Jessica. I might be paraphrasing a little.
I know.
Funniest line. Jason. I got a theory. When you guys role play, did Lafayette ever turn into a woman named Mavis?
Mavis.
Jesus. I am going to forget you just said that, and I'm going to head on in.
Uh-huh.
Brilliant performance of the episode. Lafayette. Nelson Ellis plays a gay man quite convincingly who is possessed by a female ghost who sounds like Renee from season one.
I know.
Our Stackhouse is exhibitionist. Why didn't Jason have sex with Jessica in that big mansion instead of in that old pickup truck?
That's what we say.
Sister Jay, did you notice that Jessica had her dress on around her waist?
Yes.
And Jason had his underwear on?
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Yes.
Yep. But in this case, they're not in the bed in their own
right, see.
House.
And so this case, it did not bother me, though.
No, me neither.
Because, it didn't bother me at all because they was outside
because
in the bed of a truck.
The idea is supposed to be that they were so hurried and rushed, they couldn't wait to take all their clothes off.
And that's different than if you was laying up in the bed with your clothes on.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, my boyfriend is a medium. You found it by entering his body. Mavis/Lafayette. Boyfriend? Her discovery being in a man's body.
I know.
How I make a baby with this me?
Yeah, I know. I love that. And she went over to the corner and kind of looked. They're like, oh, Lord, no, I'm a man.
No one, and I mean no one, can get away with calling a woman a bitch or a hookah like Lafayette. He even gets away with calling Mavis the goat a bitch.
Now, I didn't like that.
Lafayette, I didn't like that either.
We didn't like that.
I didn't like that.
No.
Sisters, at first I thought Sookie's interest in the blonde one after she woke up from her near-death experience was a bit weak. But then I thought about Eric laying that 1,000-year-old dick on the cardiologist from Estonia last season and decided Eric might be under Antonia's control, but he has cast his own type of spell on Sookie Stackhouse. Sookie, just like her brother, is simply thinking with her other head.
Yep.
And speaking of Jason, how could he sleep with the monster? Does any Stackhouse have loyalty to their friends? Damn it, man. First, Sookie betrays Tara's trust, and now Jason is sleeping with his best friend's vampire. Back to Sookie. Didn't Sookie's dream sequence introduce us to her inner hoe sisters?
She a hoe, though.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose it's Lafayette and Jesus to the rescue by the end of the season. I will not speculate who is going to meet the sun or otherwise will not make it to season 5. There are so many great characters in this show that I don't think we will miss whoever is going to be sacrificed for the sake of the storyline. Until the next time, sisters, Myron.
Thank you, Myron, that email. And, you know, yeah, that's the sad thing about it. We know somebody going to die. But I like all the characters that they have now.
I do, too.
I like them. Now, they can kill off Marcus because he a punk. And I get tired of watching his stringy hair.
There are so many good characters, but there's some noticeable ones that I want them to bring back. I want to see King Russell.
I want King Russell back.
I want to see Ruby Jean.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see Barry.
Oh, yeah. I love Barry.
And so if that means we have to get rid of some of these other characters.
Then get rid of them.
But who? That's the issue.
I don't know.
Who?
Well, probably Andy. He's going to be in rehab. Let's see. Who else?
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see because I do think, though, that they will have to kill off some characters just to make it more believable that all these people have gone through all this dangerous stuff and ain't nobody dying.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
Anyway, okay.
Okay, our next email is from Networker.
Hey, Networker.
Sisters, I have been listening to you all season, but this is the first chance that I've had to actually write. As Sister K would say, let's get started. Familiar faces.
Everybody's copy it off of you today.
Familiar faces. Since the show began, the creators have done a wonderful job of providing me with familiar faces appearing in roles often unlike those in which I have seen them previously. I just wanted to comment on some of my favorites. Jessica Tuck as Nan Flanagan. I enjoyed her work on One Life to Live. I enjoyed her work on Judging Amy, and I enjoyed her work on Saving Grace. Heck, I even enjoyed her as Sharpay and Ryan's mother in the High School Musical movies. However, I do not believe I have enjoyed her in a single appearance as much as I did in the most recent episode of True Blood. When Nan told Jessica that listening to her for hours made her realize that she had been correct in choosing never to create progeny, I nearly fell off my chair.
I know, it's funny.
She followed it up at the rally by suggesting to Bill that civil rights protests might have been better if no black people, they're called African Americans, were in attendance, and then she capped it off by exclaiming, "Oh, Jesus effing Christ," when Sookie came into the room. She kept me smiling throughout the entire episode. Fiona Shaw as Marnie Stonebrook. She is certainly a long way from Harry Potter's opportunity in this show. I tend to smile at the irony that Harry's muggle aunt is the big bad magic practitioner for this season. Shaw's performance as Marnie and as Marnie channeling Antonia has been very impressive. Paola Turbe as Antonia Gavilan. Even though we haven't seen the actual Antonia for a while, I have to give this actress credit. I have enjoyed her work on Royal Pains, and I have even found her interesting on The Waste of Time that is The Secret Life of the American Teenager. But I think she was truly delivered within the darker milieu of this show. She had to establish the baseline for Shaw, and I believe that she did an excellent job of portraying both Antonia's pain and anger. Joe Magniello as I'll See Her Vote. When this actor was on One Tree Hill, I liked him sometimes, and sometimes I considered him a waste of space. I now believe that this was directly related to whatever storyline that he was in at the time. Alcide is a stronger character, and I tend to welcome his presence whenever he appears in an episode. Alcide seems to be a genuinely good guy who may not realize how much under Sookie's spell he actually is. I love the way this mountain of a man conveys, both through the dialogue and the body language, that he has little interest in pack politics, even though his physique suggests he would be an alpha dog. Britt Morgan as Debbie Pell. I found this actress truly charming when she co-starred in the ABC Family show The Middleman. I know that the two of you are not crazy about her character, but I find her rather interesting. She is playing an addict in the early stages of recovery. We have all heard that recovering addicts should not get involved in romantic relationships for several months or even a year. However, Debbie is already kind of, sort of, in a relationship with Alcide. Also, she is trying to replace the pack she lost when she gave up the V. I think Morgan has done an outstanding job of portraying the character's struggles, unsteadiness, and unexpected insecurities. Janina Gavankar as Luna Garza. She's hot. I became a fan of hers when she appeared on The L Word, and I enjoyed her during her previous Supernatural outing on the show The Gates. Also, she's hot. I think the actress has shown an easy chemistry with both Sam and the actress playing Luna's character. She also has some nice antagonistic chemistry with the actor who plays Marcus. By the way, did I mention she's hot? Line of the night. Do you know what I call a dude that will admit there's ain't nothing he won't do for the woman he loves? A man. I thought that it was a really nice touch to give this line to Marcus. The line itself is very romantic, but it is delivered by a character who attempts to intimidate his wife and clearly frighten his daughter. That's the one thing. They keep saying his wife through the whole episode. I thought they were divorced.
They are.
Okay. So he's just having denial issues.
Yes.
The winner of the award for worst acting by a fictional character is Tara Thornton. But she charged me. Y'all saw it. Things I have learned from the Sister Speak True Blood podcast this year. There are no white people named Marcus. Some people have sex with the clothes on. Black people close the blinds, pull down the shades, or close the blinds at night. Sister K is a great person to have come to your house and sing to drive away evil spirits. I forgot all about that. And never, ever change my screen name to True Blood Fan Number 2.
That's right.
That's all for this week. Sorry for the link, but I dictated this to my computer, and I can be very long-winded networker.
Thank you, networker. What I find amazing about your email is I never watched none of those shows you mentioned, so I have no point of reference about what you were talking about when you were talking about each actor and their previous, you know, acting credits, because I don't watch none of that shit. I didn't.
Well, most of it's off the air now.
Well, but I just didn't, even when it was on there, One Tree Hill and
Royal Pain.
No, I don't watch that stuff. But anyway, but thank you for that. Those pointed references. I'm sure several of our listeners probably, you know, are thinking, yeah, that's right. But I don't know.
Thank you for that, because I didn't know half of the shows they were on. I've just known that I've seen a lot of those actors before.
I've never seen none of them before.
Oh, I've seen them. I just haven't seen a lot of their shows.
I've never seen. Only person I've ever seen before is Anna Paquin.
Oh, really?
Yep. That's it. That's okay. The only one, and she was, you know, Wolverine's little thing, so.
That's right. She was in that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the only place I've ever seen her. So, anyway. Thank you for that email, though, networker.
That was great. Mm-hmm. And then we also got a voicemail.
Cool.
So let me play that now.
Okay.
Hi, sisters. It's Nadine. Just wanted to share my input on the most recent episode of True Blood. First of all, I was blown away and happily surprised that kind of, you know, True Blood makes us all paranoid about the motivations of all the characters, just because, you know, between Bill and Arlene's first husband, whose name, Renee, you know, they all had kind of secret lives and secret motivations. But this episode with Jesus and Lafayette and Mavis and I just loved the actor who plays Jesus. He really showed his concern for Lafayette, his understanding of Lafayette's powers, and also about death and making peace. And I just loved that whole storyline. And it made you realize that kind of what made us nervous about Jesus's motivation towards Lafayette, if he was setting him up. It was just, you know, he grew up steeped in this world of magic, and he wanted Lafayette to feel that same enjoyment of it. And to see him use his knowledge to help Lafayette and help Mavis, I thought was amazing. Absolutely amazing. And I actually liked Debbie Peltz. I thought it was interesting, you know, when she was getting V, I thought, oh my goodness, she's getting all pumped up, so she's going to kick Suki's ass, and it turned out that actually she just needed some confidence, because she was so nervous about, or feeling self-conscious about Suki, that it was absolutely... It was more her self-esteem, her lack of self-esteem, that made her go towards getting the V so she could talk to Suki. And once she realized that Suki really had no designs on Alcide, yeah, Alcide's a hottie, but, you know, and I loved Suki's, no, you've helped me enough, go back to Alcide. I thought that was brilliant, but I thought it was a great, great episode.
Well, thank you, Nanine, for that voicemail. That's awesome.
Thank you, Nanine.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way about Debbie Pell. It was a very good switch, especially when you saw her in the alley with the dealer and getting that B and stuff. You know, you just knew, oh, she's going to go and try to tear Sookie up. But that was a good switch, though. And we didn't specifically talk about this, but I really liked the part of the scene where Sookie said, oh, here, just hush a minute. And she was holding her hand so she could, like, you know,
yes,
hear her thoughts. And you know, then she says, well, I believe you. So I like that scene, yeah.
I did, too.
That was good.
I did, too. I like that she... I think Debbie wanted somebody to believe her.
Yeah, she did.
And that's why she was so, it seemed like she was relieved.
Yeah.
Although, you know, I would think she would be scared that Sookie would hear that she just had some V.
But she wasn't thinking that.
She wasn't thinking about that.
No.
She was really sincerely thinking about all seed and doing whatever she can.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she figures that if she can keep Sookie safe, that will keep all seed from trying
to
protect her. Because she knows that that's what he does. He likes to...
But it was so... Now, that was the one unselfish, generous thing that I have seen Sookie do practically all season. And that is when she told her, Alcide really does love you.
Yeah.
You know, because she didn't have any ulterior motives or none of that shit. She was just telling her, you know. And Debbie, of course, knows that she can read his mind. So, yeah, she's believing it.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing. Maybe she'll calm down a little bit.
Well,
maybe not.
I don't know about all that.
Because in the previews, we see her all up in the face of that damn Marcus.
Nasty-ass
Marcus. That nasty.
At least Cooter had some looks to him.
And he sure did, and he was buffed and everything.
But that's not the point with her. The point
I know
is
it.
That she feels so bad about herself that whoever's going to...
Exactly.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we also had a couple of... comments on our iTunes page.
Oh, good.
So let me read those.
Okay.
The first one is from Love's True Blood.
Okay.
And they say, Sister Speak, 1 star.
What?
They say, hi, I'm Marisol. Marisol?
Okay.
I used to love this podcast, but lately their off-topic subjects seem to be a bit offensive. Clothes and drapes. I had to turn the last one off because of their constant white people this and white people that. It's a podcast about True Blood, not about all things white people. So, sure, it's funny the first time, but after a while, it gets annoying. Who cares if we want to sleep in our clothes and leave the blinds up? If you don't like it, don't look into our windows.
Well, if you don't like it, don't listen.
That's
what
I
say.
That's all she said. And then 1 star...
Oh, well, that's what I say. Don't listen then.
Well, she said
because she we is. Talk about, because the whole point of the podcast, whether it's True Blood or Fringe or any podcast we do, is from a sister's point of view. Black women talk about that shit. So if you don't want to hear it, don't listen to it. And quit writing shit on our iTunes page. Hey,
well,
that make me sick.
They can have... Anyone can have their opinion.
Well, yeah, you can have your opinion, but don't be trying to ruin somebody else's shit. You know? Send me an email then. I'll correspond with your ass real good. And I can tell you a little bit more about what I'm thinking. That stuff makes me mad. Please.
Well, might as well.
And she talk about us white people. What? Oh, hell no. Uh-uh. We have plenty of listeners.
She said, who cares if we want to sleep in our clothes and leave the blinds up?
Oh, well,
don't look into our windows if you don't like it.
Please.
Okay, Marisol. Well, again, like True Blood fan number 2, don't listen if you don't like what we talk about.
Yeah. And don't be jacking up our rating again.
Don't be jacking up our ratings, but hey, you're entitled to your opinion. We'll see you on the flip side.
There you go.
Okay, our next review is from Lady Liz Zeth.
Okay.
And 5 stars.
There you go, lady.
And then she says, her title of it is called Lady Liz's Guide to Listening to Sister Speak.
Okay.
Number 1, do not drive, eat, drink, or operate heavy machinery while you are listening. Number 2. Do sit in your favorite recliner or chair.
That's right.
Hello.
That's what we're doing right now.
Number 3, Eric Northman belongs to Sister J. Enough said.
Well, okay. I gave him to Sarah. I gave him to Sarah because, you know, she really needed him. And now I got Khal Drago.
Number four, enjoy the show. Love this podcast, and I hope you enjoyed the Lady Liz's Guide to Listening to Sister Speak. Back to you, Sister J&K.
Thank you, lady.
Lady Lizette.
Thank you, Lady Lizette. We appreciate that review. We really
Thank
do.
Thank you.
And you know, in all seriousness, though, we say what we say because we're just having fun. Because, you know, the whole point, like I said, the whole point of our podcast is for everyone to get,
you know,
everything from a sister's point of view. And quiet as it's kept, that's what y'all talk about when you get together with your friends. And that's what we talk about when we get together with ours.
Look, I don't even feel like we have to explain the point
But I'm just
of
saying.
Our,
I'm just saying.
I mean, at this point, we've been podcasting for a long time. We don't
long
need
time.
To explain the point of our podcast. We and why we're podcasting the shows that we podcast. We say it all in our every week that we love the shows that we podcast about.
That's right.
We have issues about some things. And then as the conversation flows, we might segue into something else.
That's true.
That's just how life is. That's how you talk to normal, you know, normal
yeah.
people talk. And if someone doesn't like something, we really can't be responsible for how
no.
they take something we say.
That's right.
I think most of our listeners know that we're not excluding anyone when we talk.
No.
We're not trying to make it an all-girls club, network, or whatever.
Well, and you know, we both have already mentioned, for people that don't know, we got white members of our families, you know, so, hey, we're not prejudiced in that way, but we just notice some things, you know, so.
Well, again, I don't think we have to explain it. I think people who've listened to us know.
That's true. They
and
do.
And that's all I got to say.
Okay.
All right.
Well, okay. I got to say one more thing, and that is don't leave no more ones on our iTunes page. For anybody listening out there now, don't do it. Don't do it.
We're going to talk about you.
We're going to talk about you bad.
Talk about you bad.
All right.
Okay. Well, you know, hey, out of all the reviews, we've only had two.
That's true.
So and, we're pretty lucky.
Yeah. And as you pointed out, we have been doing this for quite a while.
A while.
Yeah. And I just want to say that we do get some really good comments on our Facebook page, too. And, you know, we have some good conversations back and forth with some of our fans and listeners. So keep posting on our Facebook page, too, y'all.
Yes, please do.
We have so many, though, that we can't read all those. But just know that we do try to read them and answer them, you know, as they come up.
Yes, and okay. There have been some great ones.
There have been some great ones, yeah.
Some really good ones. Okay, well, that's it for now. Thank y'all for joining us.
Give our particulars.
Yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
If you would like to send us an email, please do so at sisterspeak@gmail.com. Comment to us on what you think of the show and us.
Yeah.
And what we talk about.
Yeah.
So we can get some more perspective on that.
We won't talk about you bad.
No. If you would like to send us a voicemail, like Nanine, you can leave one at 972-692-7341.
Mm-hmm.
You can also make a comment on our website, which is sistersinreview.com. We're both on Facebook, we are on Facebook at facebook.com/sisterspeakpodcast, and you can comment there. And then we are also both on Twitter at _SisterJ and _SisterK.
And I do try now more to send out a few little tweets during True Blood. So
I don't know how because I'm too busy watching.
Yeah, well, sometimes I got to though because I'm either you know real upset or you know
I try to
like
right before if I watch it live, which lately has been a problem. And
I always watch it live.
Sometimes after, but I'm trying to make sure I can watch stuff live because
yeah.
watching it later is just no fun. It's not the same.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. I like to watch it live.
Yeah.
And I know this is off topic, but I would like to say one thing, and that is for those of you that have not seen Torchwood Miracle Day, man, that thing is good.
Oh,
I am really enjoying that show.
Yeah, I'm about five episodes behind.
Oh, man. It is really good. That Captain Jack and Gwen characters, they are just awesome.
They're from the original show.
Yeah, they are really good. They need to
watch. Have you started watching the original show yet?
Not yet, but I will. I will go back and watch it.
Yeah, it's really, I love it.
Okay.
But yeah, I need to catch up on that one.
Yeah, because it's so good. I mean, it's really good.
Yeah, we've had another couple of comments on the Facebook page about podcasting on Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Next season when it comes back out.
Yes.
And
I think we might do that.
So I think so. Yeah.
I think we might do that. And what we might do is maybe do a first episode before it starts and kind of recap our thoughts on season one. Yeah. And that way we'll be all ready. But that Game of Thrones is really good.
It is good.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's
so
very good.
And now that, you know, she done hatched them babies.
Hey.
Ooh, it's going to be real good.
Spoiler alert if people haven't seen it.
Well, hey, sorry.
It's on HBO to go, so everybody should go watch it.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's it for now. I'm Sister K.
And I'm Sister J.
See you next time.